Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here on this Friday on the verge of a nice Memorial weekend. I want to say hi to all of our friends in Hartford at 94.1 FM and at AM 1290. You're going to be looking at a little bit of rain this weekend, I think, in Madison. Faith 104.7 and AM 1190. Good morning to you folks. And in Duluth at 90.5. You're also going to be experiencing a little bit of the wetness with a high of only 62. It is May. It should be warmer than that. And in Fargo at Faith 1200, you, my friends, are looking at some of the happier weather. Sunny and high of 74. How nice is that? Rebecca just gave me the big thumbs up. Sioux Falls, Faith 1270, good morning. So nice to you, for you to be listening. In Waterloo at Faith 93.1 and AM 1090. How cool are you people? You people are so cool. I swear. I just think it's great. Rapid City, South Dakota, 88.3 KLMP. Oh, that's the last hour. All right. Anyway, this is interesting. In New Jersey, there's no one listening in New Jersey, as far as I know, unless you're listening on the app. If you are, thanks for listening on the app. Just go and download that app. And then you can listen anywhere, anytime. A New Jersey police officer is getting quite a reputation for rescuing distressed deer. How cool is this? This Woodbridge police officer, Tim Majek, made his third save of the year this week by rescuing a fawn trapped in a sewer. He climbed into the sewer and carried the animal to safety, trying to reassure the baby deer every step of the way. You can hear him saying, "Come on, baby, I know," as he cradles the crying fawn in his arms. He's been dubbed the deer whisperer by fellow officers. Isn't that sweet? I just think that's so sweet. And as we look at the big Memorial weekend, you know what that means. Holiday movies and the blockbusters are starting to come out as we start the summer movie season. And before I get Adam Holtz on the line from we talk about movies, I'm thinking about a passage in Philippians, which starts in chapter 4, verse 8, that says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So that's something I think we're going to apply to. We're going to take that defined biblical text and apply it to the movies we're going to talk about and see if these movies are worth going to. Do you round up the family and put them in the old family truckster and then take him to the movies, or do you have something else in mind? And we're going to talk to Adam Holtz, find out what he's got up his sleeve. Be back in just a minute. It is 6 minutes after the hour. Eight minutes after the hour, big movie weekend coming up. So we should probably start our discussion about what's worth going to see and what is maybe not worth going to see. And then if you get into that discussion with your kids where they want to go see a movie you would prefer them not to see, how do you say no to them? And how do we stand for, you know, how do we say yes to stuff and not just no to stuff? So Adam is the guy. Adam Holtz from Plugged In is just the guy I want to talk to about this. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
So let's say your kids want to see a movie you'd prefer them not to see. And so how do we say no?
Well, I think that we have to redirect and we have to do it in a way that's appropriate to where they're at. My son is 10, and a couple weeks ago he said, "Dad, you know, I really want to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because all of his friends are doing it, of course. And I started out by saying, you know it's a PG-13 movie, and he said, "Yeah, Dad, I know." And I could tell he was crestfallen. And he knows what I do for a living, so that answer couldn't have come as a surprise to him. But I realized it was important, you know, to go further than just saying, "This isn't a movie that's appropriate for you." That he's at an age where it's not just what, you know, or yes or no, but why. And beginning to step into the reasons for that. And I tried to talk with him about the fact that there's content in this movie that's just not appropriate for where you're at. And you're a 10-year-old boy. It's a great season right now. Let's let's have a blast being 10, and, you know, we'll get to the teen stuff later on. And I said, it's not that this movie is, you know, an awful, awful movie, but just that it has stuff that we don't feel like is helpful for you right now and really would be something that would encourage you. Even though the movie might be really fun, there's just content that, we don't want to have to deal with yet. And I think that he was able to hear that, and his countenance lifted a little bit. And I know, you know, it's a little bit in father knows best territory here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not naive. I know that as teens, as kids get older and as they move into their teens, that answer may not be the best one. But I think instead of just saying, no, this is what we've decided, it's important that our kids understand the reasons behind our decisions. And then, you know, look for things that you can say yes to, that you know that they will enjoy, that are navigable together. And it may be that other alternatives aren't perfect either. You know, we had talked about going to see the new Diary of the Wimpy Kid movie, which, frankly, it has a lot of problems too, but it's mostly of the bathroom humor kind.
Mm-hmm.
And the problems there, I think, are navigable for my 10-year-old, whereas the problems with Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm not ready to deal with the sexual innuendo and the profanity and some of the things that that movie deals with. So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, being aware of where your kids are at and saying what is content that we can navigate together. It doesn't mean that it all has to be perfect, but, you know, we can talk through what the issues are. I think that, he was encouraged by that, and for him to see that we really have his best interests in heart, I think was important at this point. And at least now, at the age of 10, that was an argument that still held a little bit of water for him.
Mm-hmm. Adam, you say that your kids, your son knows what you do for a living. Has he ever played this card? But Dad, come on, let's go. You can get free tickets.
No, he never has played that card.
Oh boy, put him on the phone. I'll straighten him out.
Most of the time, the screenings I see are in the evening, and I'm there up in Denver, and I'm in Colorado Springs, so it's I don't get home till really late. So that's an easy one for me to navigate.
Okay. All right. So the summer season is upon us. The blockbuster movie season and Memorial weekend's a huge one. So let's talk about what's out there, what we're seeing, and what we should maybe think twice about.
Yeah, you know, I wish that I could tell you that there was just a long list of terrific films for families, but you know, when Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men's Tell No Tales is maybe the best thing out there, that it really is a low tide kind of situation. So Johnny Depp is back reprising his character as Jack Sparrow, and you know, they took a ride from Disneyland and turned it into a multi-billion-dollar franchise, which it still kind of boggles my mind. But, you know, his Jack Sparrow character has a certain kind of charm. And so the latest Pirates movie, I think in some ways it harkens back to the first couple films in the franchise. And, you know, you've got another crew of these cursed zombie-like characters chasing him around, and you know, they're looking for treasure, and so it's going to feel really familiar, but I think the story overall is a better one in the last couple of installments. And if you're able to deal with the fact that there are these sort of squishy, rotting enemies chasing him, you know, there's a certain kind of charm here. And I think maybe more importantly, there are some nice messages about family, about fatherhood. It actually has a little bit of redemptive content.
Really?
But I don't want to go overboard here. It's not, you know, it's not a fantastic slam dunk, you know, pack up the minivan and get to the theater kind of movie. But of all the choices out there today, it might be the least problematic in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Adam, can you give me a little sense of when you speak of about a redemption element in that movie? I'd be curious just to see what you're pointing towards.
Well, you've got, if you remember, hang on just a second. The character is Elizabeth Swann, and I'm blanking on Orlando Bloom's character's name from the last couple of movies. They have a son, Henry Turner. Will Turner is his name.
Okay.
And Henry Turner is trying to undo a curse on his dad, Will Turner. So you've got this father-son kind of motif, and then you've got a new character named Karina, and she's trying to kind of reconnect with her dad, too. So there is this sort of fatherhood element to it as these children try to reconnect and help their dads.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice.
That is nice.
You know, squishy worms and stuff falling out of guys that have been dead for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't help you when it comes to movie references. The last movie I think I saw was Old Yeller.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take a little break, Adam. When we come back, I want to hear more about the movies and what else we might want to look forward to at the cinema. It is 15 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back. More with Adam Holtz. Good morning. Bill Arnold here talking to Adam Holtz from Plugged In, Division of Focus on the Family. We're trying to talk about, we are talking about movies. And Adam, I know that there's a lot of superhero movies coming out in the summer. Usually isn't that the case? And what superhero feature or skill would you like to have personally?
Oh, boy. I would like to clone myself so that I could get twice as much work done, which is a very adult answer to that.
That's a very adult answer. I'd want an eye on the end of my finger so I could look around corners.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
That'd be kind of helpful.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So is Superwoman coming out this summer?
Wonder Woman,
that's what I meant.
Yep, Wonder Woman comes out in a couple of weeks, and we haven't had a chance to see it yet, but there certainly is a lot of buzz building for it, so we'll have to see how well it delivers on the buzz.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say movies like that are usually fairly fun for the whole family?
Yeah, you know, both Marvel and DC have done some things that I think make it harder to say yes for young kids. You know, as we were talking about earlier, the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise and some of Marvel's other stuff, there's a smattering of profanity, you know, there's a smattering of sexual innuendo. It's not over the top, but I think especially for younger kids, it definitely is something parents want to take seriously. You know, for me, I think the profanity thing is a big one for me. I don't want to hear my kids hearing that stuff. I don't want them getting it in their head that that's cool or that that's something that they should repeat. You know, I think by the time they're probably late tweens and early teens, I think it's less of an issue. But I'm still trying to hold that line with my 10-year-old. And, you know, we've gone to see some of the PG-13 Star Wars movies because for the most part there's really not that much bad language. So, you know, it turns into maybe an arbitrary decision why some of them are okay for our family and others maybe are out of bounds. But those are my general concerns with the superhero movies.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about, again, you had mentioned A Wimp Will Rise. And tell me again what you thought. Was that worth watching, or was there a problem you had with the content?
Oh, I don't think it's worth watching.
Okay.
I think that my son has really enjoyed the books.
Okay.
And at this point, it's fallen off his radar, so we may be able to dodge the wimpy kid bullet.
Okay.
You know, it's just a movie about being 12 years old and fighting with your brother and going on a road trip. And
yeah, you can just do that in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't need to go to a movie for that.
Right, you just go on vacation and it'll be more fun.
It'll all happen naturally.
Yes. You know, the biggest issue with the Wimpy Kid movies is just a massive amount of toilet humor.
Okay, that's it. You know. All right, what about King Arthur?
The King Arthur movie was another one that's sort of in the same realm as the superhero movies. I mean, it's an action-adventure film. They're trying to reboot this franchise, and in this time of Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and some of these other things, it seems to have really fallen flat. It hasn't done well at the box office the last couple weeks at all, but you know, it's just the latest retelling of the King Arthur story, and Again, it's got a fair bit of violence. It's got some weird spiritual elements in it. And it's got, you know, some scenes that are fairly sensual. So it's right there with the superhero movies. It's not totally out of bounds, but it's PG-13 for a reason.
Yeah. What about The Boss Baby?
Oh, The Boss Baby. You know, there are some sweet messages about childhood and about brotherhood and learning what it means to have a brother. And again, you've got a ton of toilet humor. So in some ways, I think it just depends on your tolerance for that kind of content and whether your family has a good laugh over it or whether you walk out thinking, you guys, that's not the kind of stuff we want to focus on in our family.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Adam, anything else you'd recommend, or is there something we should think about renting to watch over the weekend?
You know, there's a movie that's in a handful of theaters across the country. It's in fairly limited release called Champion.
Okay.
And it's about a dirt track racer who has there's a tragic accident. And it's a movie that really is about fatherhood and about failure and about forgiveness as these two men really work to reconcile. I liked it a lot. Again, it's not in very many theaters, but it is in a handful of theaters all across the country. So I would just Google Champion Movie and see if you can find a theater where it is playing. And it really is worth the time. It's probably the most positive thing out there right now.
Okay. Any patriotic movies we might want to rent or consider over the weekend?
Oh, boy, that is another good question.
I got lots of them, Adam.
Oh, well, tell me what's on your list.
Well, she got to remember, I'm not a huge movie guy. So, you know, if
right.
I'm going to watch a patriotic movie, I might gravitate towards one of the classics or something. I might revisit a Saving Private Ryan or something like that that just is so emotionally moving. Historically more accurate. But then I'm so trashed for about 3 days afterwards. So I got to be careful.
You know, one of my favorite war movies in that category, I think it came out in 75 or 76, was Midway, which tells the Battle of Midway. And, like, it was a blockbuster for its time. I mean, I think it's got a whole bunch of big names in it. Robert Wagner's in it, and one of the Fondas, Peter Fonda maybe, and John Williams did the score. And if you listen to it, it sort of almost sounds like Star Wars with planes as opposed to X-Wings. So go find its way. That would be a good patriotic movie for the weekend.
What is your favorite patriotic movie?
Oh, you know, it's hard to beat Saving Private Ryan, I
think.
It is. Just as a movie about heroism and sacrifice and overcoming. Obviously, it's got a lot of violence, but the inspiration factor is just off the charts.
Yes, and then at what age do you let your kids watch that movie?
Boy, I think that's a mid-teens movie. I wouldn't even think about it right now, but 15, 16, somewhere in there, I think, you know, they're wrestling with the realities of life enough that they could probably wade through that one with some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is an R-rated movie, so obviously the MPAA says 17, so if we want to stick with that guideline, I think that's a good starting point, too.
All right, and just with about 30 seconds left to go, what movie should we avoid at all costs?
Baywatch.
Of course. Ding, 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 ding,
Baywatch
ding.
Baywatch is out this weekend. Do not be
deceived. That's the answer I was looking for.
It's an R-rated, nasty, raunchy, not very funny movie.
Yeah. And so let's try to get the conversation back to upbeat before we go off this interview. But thanks so much for your contributions to the show and helping us know where to go when it comes to movies. So I appreciate you a lot, Adam.
Thank you, Bill. It's always good to talk to you.
Have a great weekend with your family. All right?
I will do it.
All right. Talk to you next time. All right. 26 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back in just a minute. It's half past the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. We are looking at a nice Memorial weekend coming up. So I hope you got some nice, fun things planned and a chance to relax a little bit. We're going to talk about millennials. We're kind of weighing heavy on that today, but it's such an interesting subject. And Chris Martin, our millennial evangelical, is up next. So we're going to chat with him about how so many millennials nowadays are getting their news, which turns out to be fake, from Facebook. Huh. We got to change that. Be back in a minute. 25 minutes until the top of the hour when we harbor unforgiveness. We ended up making bad choices. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson says this includes not forgiving yourself.
Because we can't see it, we can force ourselves not to think about it. But when that wound happens, if we forgive, our wound will heal. It'll be gone. But if there is unforgiveness in that wound cannot heal and will not heal. And it will affect in time our attitudes, our emotions, our actions. And if we wounded ourselves by something that we did that hurt ourselves deeply, then in time we'll begin to sabotage ourselves. We'll just spend and get into debt, and we'll break relationships with our friends, and we won't even know why. We won't make the connection that the reason I'm doing this is because I have a wound in my heart that has not been cleansed, it is not healed, and it is affecting every part of my life.
You want to hear that full interview? It's on our website, myfaithradio.com. Search on forgiveness. You'll find it. Take a little break, and we come back. Chris Martin, be back in a minute.
It doesn't matter how good a parent you are. There are forces at work in today's culture that can send your teen spinning out of control. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Maybe you've just gone through a shouting match with your teen and you're asking yourself, what just happened? Maybe you've just discovered something ugly on his computer. Or maybe you caught your daughter lying to your face. To all of this, two simple words come to mind. When your family's in chaos, don't quit. And when your teen says he hates you, don't quit. When it's 3 a.m. and you have no idea where your teen is, don't quit. Whatever the situation, God hasn't overlooked you. Rest in his presence and never, never quit.
Find more parenting help from Mark Gregston when you go online to parentingtodaysteens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
It's almost 20 minutes until the top of the hour on this Friday, right before the big Memorial weekend. I'm always excited about holiday weekends. It's always an opportunity to just do something a little different or catch up on a project you need to. So I hope you got some good plans, and I want to hear about them come Tuesday. So you can email me with really a great thing that happened to you that you want to share with me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Just would love to know more about the listeners that come to Faith Radio, because we care about you guys. So anyway, Chris Martin is a regular. He's the, we refer to him as the Millennial Evangelical. He blogs under that name. And Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. You're coming to us via Skype. You always sound so good. And you recently just got your master's degree from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I spoke to your provo this week, Bruce Ashford.
Oh, great. How's he doing?
Well, he claimed to know you, so that was I was impressed.
That's good. I'm glad he didn't disown me. That's good.
Yes. I said to him that I bet Chris has a picture in his office of you shaking his hand. That was my guess.
Not quite.
Okay,
but
close.
I should think about that.
You should. That'd be impressive. All right. Millennials are getting some of their news from Facebook. Too big of a percentage. They're listening to fake news, and they're buying it.
Well, maybe. About 40% of millennials turn to Facebook for news. And what's important to remember is it's not like Facebook is writing articles, right? Facebook is not a media company in the purest sense. They're kind of an aggregate, right? Facebook is a social media platform in which you can encounter news pieces from all kinds of outlets, legitimate and illegitimate. About 40% of millennials get their news from Facebook first. Those are going to be older millennials. Just in my study of social media, which is more related to my job than my blogging efforts that we often talk about here, the younger millennials, I'm 26. I'm kind of right in the middle. Most millennials younger than me are not super active on Facebook. But most millennials my age and older are pretty active on Facebook. So older millennials are going to make up more of that 40% than younger millennials. But a high percentage of Gen Xers do this as well. According to Pew, 88% of Americans ages 18 to 29 use Facebook regularly, and Americans ages 30 to 49, 84% use it regularly. So that's a pretty small difference. And you know, this is anecdotal, this point I'm going to make, but it's held true in my experience. Honestly, it's more Gen Xers and boomers that I've seen sharing fake news on Facebook than millennials.
Okay. All right.
That might sound biased because I am a millennial, and I might be sounding like I'm trying to abdicate the responsibility that we have to discern these things as well. But I think there's real I'm willing to bet that it's not just my experience. And I think there's evidence for or reasoning for why that might be the case. Millennials, like myself, have grown up having to discern what is real and fake on the internet our entire lives.
Yeah, that's true.
When we were in middle school, we were told that we couldn't use Wikipedia because anybody can go in and the perception is, and this used to be more true than it is today, anybody can go in and edit a Wikipedia article and it can mean anything you want it to mean. It's not a legitimate research place, you know, a place to do research for a school paper. Mm-hmm. In some sense, that's still true.
Yeah.
But every Wikipedia article that's worth its salt has a list of important, like significant, often journal article, depending on the topic, resources at the bottom that the Wikipedia article was made off of. So it's like made of legitimate sources. So all of that to say, millennials have grown up having to sift through what is real and fake on the internet. Our parents and grandparents are still kind of gullible in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Another example, the other day I heard a story about some phishing emails going around a company that one of my friends works for. And we were talking about the fact that my friend and his friends, who are all around my age, didn't fall for it, but they were getting emails from their much older superiors who had fallen for this phishing email. A phishing email being like, hey, give me your password, I need to fix this for you. And it was like a hacker.
Wow.
So all that, I think, yes, it is a problem that millennials are turning to Facebook for news, but not necessarily because they're falling for fake news. I think it's more of a problem because of an issue we've talked about a little bit on here before, which is the news bubble or the ideological bubble and echo chambers that Facebook promotes, that you may be only reading news that agrees with your perspective.
Yeah. I read an article on Facebook that 97% of people my age are cool, and I know that's not a fake news story.
You're right.
I know that's a true story.
I think that's pretty true.
Yeah. I want to get into what social media is doing to our ability, as you say, to communicate with kindness and clarity and depth. And I also want to ask you about our ability to think critically, how millennials are doing in that department, to think critically.
Yeah. So about social media, I recently read Neil Postman's famous work called Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business, which I highly recommend to anyone listening. He's writing about it from 1985. He's writing about how television is destroying public discourse, how it's cheapening the daily news, because when the daily news comes on every day, it makes you think you have to know what's going on around the world every day, and how that actually ends up cheapening a lot of things and it ends up distracting you from things that actually matter. I read that book and I kind of put it off for a while because I knew it was going to have implications on how I viewed social media, and I have to deal with social media every day. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of nervous about what it was going to do to how I view social media, because I think social media has a lot of the positives. Obviously, it has a lot of negatives. And it really was refreshing to read this and take what Neil Postman wrote over 20 years ago and say, wow, yeah, this really does apply. So I think social media kind of has three basic limits of social media as a medium when it comes to public discourse or just conversation with people. I think first, social media deceives us. It deceives us into believing we're informed when we are in fact misinformed. Mm. We've talked about that with fake news and things like that. Second, I think social media distracts us. It distracts us with an offensive amount of unimportant information disguised as matters of great importance. You know, social media has this perpetual barrage of breaking news that really end up not being that urgent in the first place.
Yeah.
But that gets our attention, so they use that. And then third, I think social media drowns us. It drowns us in information upon which we cannot be expected to act. I think there's my friend a couple weeks ago said, hey, have you seen this hashtag? It's about some like Christian, some like church stuff. And I was like, no, I haven't really seen it. And I said, honestly, like I'm on social media every day. I work with authors and help them engage with their audiences on social media. I've kind of been advising people and doing this myself, just like stay in your own lane and engage with people you know and you're friends with online and publish what you want to publish and kind of provide and serve people through your platform. But I've kind of tried to stop caring so much about what Christian, especially like the Christian subculture online, is saying to everybody, and like, hey, you need to care about this, or we're getting outraged about this, or I think it's just really important for us to not get ourselves drowning in all of that and what everybody says is important, mm-hmm. because we can't be expected to act on all these problems that are going on all around the world. I think we need to be informed, but I don't think we need to be getting all concerned and anxious and trying to figure out how we can fix the world, when because social media gives us this idea that we can fix the world, mm-hmm. when in fact I don't think we can. And I think we can just engage and be faithful where we are. And so I think those are kind of three limits of social media. But I do think social media is really valuable.
Yeah. So if you have a question or comment for Chris Martin and want to give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. Or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I'll just ask him the question that you email. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Minutes until the top of the hour, we're talking to Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical he refers to in his blog. And Chris, when we get on social media and we see all the problems, we can't address every one of them. And if we look at them, we can't take action on all of them. It's overwhelming. So how can we use it in a positive way?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that social media, as negative as it can be at times, especially in different seasons, especially we saw in like recent political seasons, it can be really toxic. I think I kind of liken social media to a black hole at times. It's mm-hmm. this sort of mysterious gravitational force that absorbs everything around it. The temptation on social media is to get enveloped to the point where you can't discern digital reality from physical reality. But I don't think that temptation or that possibility should dissuade Christians from filling social media platforms, whatever one you're on, with the hope.
Oop, I think we lost Chris there for a second. But don't worry, I am trained for moments like this. Unfortunately, I just don't have a lot of training. But anyway, Chris is coming to us via Skype, which is a great way to talk to Chris. But
again, positives and negatives of technology.
Exactly. You know, we're talking about technology with Chris and the advantages of it. And then using technology, he goes away. So anyway.
Is this a meta conversation?
It is. But he was talking about social media being a black hole. He calls it a gravitational force that absorbs everything around it, including Chris himself, who's been sucked into this gravitational hole. But the temptation is, he said, is to get enveloped, that's the word he used, to the point where you can't discern digital reality from physical reality. And that was really the question, if we get him back, I want to ask, because I'm not entirely sure. Chris, you back?
I think I'm here.
Yeah, awesome. I'm not sure if I understand the difference between the digital reality from physical reality remark you made.
Yeah, so I think the difference is people think that what they do online doesn't affect what they do offline.
Ah, gotcha.
So we're in this spot where we think I can say and do whatever I want online because it's a completely different reality than the physical reality, when in fact it's just an extension of it. You know, back in the day before Facebook was around and before you had to kind of attach your real name to any posts you made online,
mm-hmm.
People would troll and be mad and nasty under fake names. And it was like, oh, yeah, they're just doing that because you know, they don't have to reveal their fake name. People, you know, if any of us had no repercussions for being nasty to people, we would probably be more nasty to people. You know, if people didn't associate it with who we were and things like that. Well, now that Facebook is around, people are just way more brazen. People are nasty under their real names all the time because they don't see the connection between physical reality and digital reality. So mm-hmm. I think social media is a neutral tool. To use the cliche, it is it's a double-edged sword. And unfortunately, I see both sides of the sword getting their share of the action, especially in the Christian space.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the challenge for Christians is to use social media in a sanctified way, in a way that looks different from those whose hearts who have not been transformed by the gospel. I think using social media for redemptive purposes is a challenge, and that we shouldn't underestimate the challenge. Neil Postman, the author of the book, writes about television preachers. It's naive to suppose that something has been expressed in one form can be expressed in another form without significantly changing its meaning, texture, or value. And I think that can be a hard quote to process. But I think what that means for us is online, as we engage on social media, we need to resist the temptation to change the gospel message and or devalue or cheapen the gospel message because the medium of social media can feel so temporary and cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even on social media, the eternal importance of the gospel kind of, bursts like a light in the darkness of what seems like an endless stream of temporary, unimportant information. And so I think for us Christians on social media, it's a stewardship issue. We've been given this tool. We need to steward it well, and we need to use the gospel, use social media to promote the message of the gospel, because though social media can seem really dark at times, the light of the gospel can even shine in that darkness.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk, too, about just the importance when we have a long weekend ahead of us of trying to carve out some FaceTime with people, because we're going to try to get away from our routines and being in front of laptops and phones and try to connect with people in a real human way, and how important it is to take the hope that we have in Christ and be able to have real conversations with real people and be out of the habit of just being online and being face-to-face with real people, having real conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really important for us to realize that, it's hard because I just said the digital world is a sort of extension of the physical world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that they affect each other. But interacting with someone online isn't exactly the same as interacting with them face-to-face.
That's so true.
Especially when having positive conversations. So I think it's good to take this time this weekend and have some face-to-face interaction.
Yeah, and then the whole idea of communicating with kindness and clarity, it seems that it's a little bit tougher online when you're in social media to be kind and have clarity, or do you think that's true?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it is really hard sometimes in our sin nature and our tendencies to communicate with kindness, clarity, and depth. And I think, social media, it's always going to be hard to communicate with depth just because of the medium that it is. But I think we can be kind and clear on social media and not try to confuse people or anger people, provoke people to anger.
Yeah.
Because that can be really tempting for sure, especially on platforms like Twitter, where it's easy to poke people and try to make people mad.
Yeah, Chris, now we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks. How many pounds has the puppy gained in the last couple of weeks?
He is at about 17 pounds now.
Okay.
So, cute. Yeah, when we brought him home, he was half that about 4 weeks ago. So.
Okay. Well, I hope you have a great weekend with the fam, and I hope you get a chance to watch a Cubs game, and I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Talk
Thanks,
to you later.
Chris. Yep. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening today. We've got a great day of programming here on Faith Radio, so we appreciate you and love the fact that you listen and support. So thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. So does Rebecca. Rebecca appreciates you too. Big thumbs up there.
Why, yes, I do.
I know you do.
Even on a Friday.
I know you do.
Especially on a Friday.
Especially with your big moving this weekend, so congratulations
yes.
on your new place.
Thank you so much. And, much excitement. A little stiff today.
Yeah. And then the one thing the movers were helping you were complaining about, another box of books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So many books.
You are such a bookworm.
I am. Yeah. And proud of it.
I know you are. I love it. Well, that wraps up the show. I will look forward to seeing you on Monday. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And God bless.
Thanks for listening to this Faith Radio Mornings podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Faith Radio Mornings, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thanks for sharing the audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings.